You're listening to the audio portion of one of my videos. If you'd like to see the video, you can go to my YouTube channel or you can go to aboundingjoy.com.
Well, hey kids, glad to have you back watching another question for Grandpa. Today's question is, does it really matter that much what friends I choose? Does it really matter that much what friends I choose? You may be thinking, okay, I know what Grandpa's going to say, but he's just an old fuddy-duddy. He doesn't want me to have any fun with my friends. I just want to have a little fun with my friends. And listen, you got me wrong if that's what you think. I really do want you to have fun. I want you to have lots of fun with your friends. But I'm guessing that you've learned by now that there's some things in life that seem like fun at first, and later on, they turn out to be not much fun at all. Have you ever experienced anything like that? I bet you have. Most of us have. I certainly have. Maybe share with you a childish little memory of that kind of thing. When I was a kid, I used to stay in the summer with my grandparents in Florida quite a bit. I was there with them one summer. And my Grandpa Payne, by the way, he's the one that led me to the Lord when I was 10 years old. I prayed in my grandpa and grandma's living room there in Florida when I was 10 years old and asked Jesus to come into my heart. Anyway, he had a hoe that summer, you know, one of these big long handle things that you use to dig in the ground. And he just finished sharpening that hoe. And he leaned it up against a tree there in his yard. He and I were standing there and I was watching him sharpening. And he said he had to go into the house for a minute, but then he'd be right back. And he told me, now, Stephen, everybody called me Stephen when I was a kid. Now, Stephen, that hoe's really sharp. I don't want you to mess with it. Don't touch it. I'll be right back. Well, you can guess, can't you, what happened as soon as he got out of sight, as soon as he got in the house. He told me not to touch it. But it seemed to me that if it was that sharp, it would be a lot of fun just to see how deep I could use it to dig into the ground with. I mean, it just seemed like what you do with a hoe. So as soon as he went in the house, I grabbed that hoe. And it was a big, long-handled hoe, so I just was a little fellow, so I grabbed it down pretty low, close to the sharp end there, so I could dig with it. And I raised it up over my head to give a good, strong chop into the ground. But I grabbed it a little too low. And instead of chopping into the ground, I chopped right into my ankle. And Grandpa was right. It was very sharp. So I yelled and screamed and bled a lot. And it left a nice deep scar on that ankle that lasted for many, many years to remind me of my disobedience and my foolishness. Now that's a real childish example. I'm sure you wouldn't do anything like that, would you? No, no, no. But it's something that at the moment seemed like it's going to be a lot of fun. It seemed to me like I was going to have fun. But the fun didn't last very long, did it? No. And listen, guys, if we don't take God seriously, life is full of things like that. Stuff that seems like fun, but it's short-range fun. And I know in your case, the fun may last a little bit longer than my fun with the hoe. That didn't last very long at all. But sooner or later, the fun ends. There's so many things that seem like fun, and it turns into misery. Now listen, please don't get me wrong, guys. God has no problem with fun. God wants his kids to have fun. But God's into the kind of fun that lasts, and the kind of fun that doesn't eventually turn into pain and misery and destruction and ruined lives. And a whole lot of the stuff that we think is fun right now turns out really badly. And I've got to warn you, you're my grandkids, I love you very much, that if you don't take messages like the message I'm trying to communicate in this video, if you don't take them seriously, there's going to come a time when you will be so, so sorry that you didn't take it seriously. What you hoped would be a lot of fun can eventually turn into so much misery and pain. And I don't want you to get hurt. And more importantly than that, God doesn't want you to get hurt. He really doesn't. God and I both want you to have fun that lasts. So pay close attention, okay? Take me seriously. Have you ever had a parent, maybe, or maybe somebody else, who expressed concern to you, maybe over one of your friends? Maybe they said something like, I'm just not sure that friend is really good for you. I'm getting some bad vibrations from that person. And maybe you thought, well, I really like this person. You don't have to worry. Maybe they don't always make the best decision. Don't worry, though. I'm not going to let that affect me. Have you experienced that? I grew up with a friend, a boy who lived in my community. He was my age. We went to school together, same grade. And for several years, when we were small, we were best friends. We played a lot together. He's a really nice kid. He also was smart. God made him smart. He made good grades. And actually, he trusted Jesus before I did. At least he said he did. And his decision seemed to me to be real and sincere, as far as I can tell. When we were both young kids, we were both skinny little kids, about the same size, actually. But as we grew up, I stayed pretty small and skinny. He developed into a tall, really good-looking, muscular, athletic kind of guy. In high school, when we finally got to high school, I was kind of the school nerd. You can imagine that, can't you? But my friend became an athletic hero in our school. I mean, he was incredible. He was a football star at our school. He was a basketball star. He was a quarterback on our high school football team. Incredibly good athlete. He was good at all kinds of sports. When we graduated from high school, we both went to the same university, University of Tennessee, Knoxville. And believe it or not, guys, I mean, he was this good. He had a football scholarship. Told you he was really good. You have to be really, really good to get a football scholarship to play football at the University of Tennessee. But then, even though we were at the same school, of course, the University of Tennessee is a huge school. It was then, too. Thousands and thousands and thousands of students. From that point on in our lives, we were pretty much going our separate ways. I made friends with guys in the physics and engineering programs there at UT. We were all in a lot of the same classes, those guys and I were. Bunch of nerds. They were nerds just like me. But my friends encouraged me to take my schoolwork really seriously. They did. Of course, I tried to encourage them right back. Sometimes we competed to see who could get the best grades in our classes. We worked hard, studied together a lot. And sometimes it really was hard work. Some of our classes were very, very difficult and not much fun, really, some of the things we had to take. Some of them took a lot of time outside class just to try to stay up. It wasn't easy. But we knew what we needed to do in order to finish well and get our degrees, and we were motivated to do that. My childhood athletic friend developed an entirely different set of friends. I guess you could call them fun-loving friends. And they all had a blast, or they seemed to have a lot more fun than I was having. But listen, guys, by the end of our first year at the university, I had a bunch of credits. I got to be on the honor roll. I was well on my way to getting my degree. My friend, and this is very sad, but he, along with some of the people he had chosen to hang out with, all dropped out of school. What was the difference? Well, at least a big part of the difference was the friends we chose at the University of Tennessee. The people we chose to hang out with made a huge difference in our decisions. Do you remember a man in the Bible named Rehoboam? Rehoboam. Strange name, isn't it? Maybe you don't remember. He's not one of the more famous guys in the Bible. But God does tell us about him in the Bible. And he turns out to be very important. We learn something really important from Rehoboam. I bet you do remember King Solomon, don't you? You remember Solomon? Solomon's the one God used to write the book of Proverbs in the Bible. Very important book in the Bible. Book of Proverbs. Book of wisdom. A lot of wisdom for kids in Proverbs. Well, Solomon was King David's son. Did you remember that? And Rehoboam was Solomon's son. So Rehoboam was King David's grandson. When David died, Solomon became king. You might remember, Solomon's the one that prayed for wisdom, and God gave it to him. Remember that? Well, when Solomon finally died, Rehoboam, his son, became king in his place. And there were some older, wiser men in the kingdom who were willing to give Rehoboam some really good advice, some really good counsel, so he could start off his reign as king well. But Rehoboam had grown up with some friends who were, pardon my using this term, but they were total idiots. They really were. Rehoboam thought they were cool, though. He liked to hang out with them. They were his buddies. And instead of listening to the wise men, Rehoboam listened to his dumb friends. You can read about it in 1 Kings chapter 12. And in that chapter, in verse 8, we read this, But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story here. You can read it there in the Bible if you want to check it out. But his friends wound up costing Rehoboam most of his kingdom. Most of his kingdom just left him because he was making stupid decisions. Really cool, huh? No, not really cool. Very foolish. Really dumb. But he thought he was being cool at first. There are a couple of Bible verses I want you to memorize if you haven't memorized them already. Here's one of them. It's in the book of Proverbs. Remember? God used Rehoboam's dad, King Solomon, to write these things in Proverbs for his own son Rehoboam, as well as for all of us. Listen to what he says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, the translation I'm using right now says suffer harm. Some translations translate those words will be destroyed. In any case, it means a very, very bad outcome. Do you hear what God's telling us here? Do you understand this? It means we tend to become like the people we hang out with. And we will experience the same consequences for bad decisions that they do. God's trying to warn us with this verse. And God knows what he's talking about. It's easy for us to kid ourselves. Kind of deceive ourselves. Now, guys, listen to me. This is a really important verse. And I've got to ask you, have you memorized it yet? I know some of you have. I know some of you have. But if you haven't, it's a short verse. You can memorize it right now. Let's do it, okay? Can you say the first line? Starts with the word whoever. Do you remember it? Whoever walks. Can you say the rest of it? Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Try it. Say it before I do. Whoever? Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Say it one more time. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Can you say the last line? Starts with the words, but the companions. But the companion. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Try to say it. But the companion. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Say it again. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. One more time. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, can you put it together? You say it first. Starts with whoever. Go ahead, I'm waiting. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. but the companion of fools will suffer harm. One more time. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Guys, that's the way you memorize Bible verses. And that's one of those verses that needs to be engrafted in your heart. Don't be deceived, guys. Don't be deceived. In fact, speaking of not being deceived, that's how the other verse starts. There's one more verse I want you to learn. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Want to try that one? Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Try it one more time. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. You might think, well, some of my friends may be making bad decisions, but I won't let that affect me. It's not what God says. God says if you hang out with the wrong people, it definitely will affect your decisions. You know why that's true? Because God knows all of us are tempted to do wrong things no matter what. We're all tempted, even in the best of situations. The world out there, our own sinful desires, the devil, they're all tempting us to make bad decisions. Listen, guys, we all need Christians around us who will encourage us to do what's right, or we'll end up getting into all kinds of sinful things. We'll justify it, we'll rationalize it, and we'll end up suffering terrible consequences for that sin. I've seen that over and over and over throughout my life. Take me seriously. So if our friends are making bad decisions, it'll make it virtually inevitable that we will end up making bad decisions too. God knows what he's talking about. You may argue with him, but he's right. You will lose that argument, guys, and you will have major regrets. And I don't want you to have those regrets. Neither does God. You may be thinking, well, maybe it's true. Maybe I don't have the best kind of friends, but I don't know what to do about it. They're the only friends I've got. Listen, one thing you can do is start going where the Christians hang out. Maybe find some Christian clubs at school, find some Christian youth groups, get involved in a Christian Bible study group or a small group, get involved in Christian activities. Look for the real Christians. I know there are kids in there who are kind of fakes. Look for the real ones. And you could even tell them, hey, God's convicted me. I need to have more Christian friends. Would you guys help me pray that God would give me some Christian friends, maybe some of you? And that means you need to be praying about it too, of course. Something like, Father, please help me find some friends who will encourage me to love you more, who will encourage me to make good decisions, who will set a good example for me. And Lord, help me set a good example for them too. Now, you might be saying right now, but wait, Grandpa, shouldn't I have some non-Christian friends too so that I can help them get to know Jesus? And that's a really good question. It really is. One thing I would say about that is that when you have friends who aren't Christians, you need to ask yourself, which way is the influence flowing? Is your non-Christian friend influencing you, or are you influencing your friend? For example, if you know that you're able to talk with your non-Christian friend about God and Jesus and the Bible and the church and doing the right thing, you may be able to have an influence on him or her. On the other hand, if you find yourself avoiding talking about those things because you're afraid it's going to irritate them, or they're going to be bothered, or they're going to get angry or upset, or they're going to make fun of you, then the influence is flowing the wrong way. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? But in any case, your very, very best friends, your closest friends, the friends you share the most with, need to be strong Christians. I'm not talking about kids whose parents may take them to church and may call themselves Christians, but the truth is they act like non-Christians. You know who those kids are too. I'm talking about real Christian kids. They're out there. When Paul wrote his very last letter, it was a letter to Timothy. Timothy was kind of like Paul's son in the Lord. Not really his son, but he treated him like a son. He loved Timothy dearly. And he wanted Timothy to realize there are people out there who are going to be, now listen to this, you may even know some kids like this, listen, for people will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They'll consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They'll slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what's good. They'll betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They'll act religious, but they'll reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. There are lots of kids out there like that. And I bet you know some of them. Did you hear what God tells us through Paul? That last word, that last part. Stay away from people like that. So does it matter who you choose to be your friends? You bet your life it does. Listen, guys, there are tons and tons of people who come to the end of their lives filled with regret over the incredibly bad decisions they've made. And many times it all began with hanging out with the wrong friends. So I'm pleading with you guys, if you're close friends with people like those people Paul was warning Timothy and us about, ask God to help you figure out ways to get away from them. And if you don't have close godly friends who really do love Jesus, ask God to help you find them. You need to start that search process right now. And if you do have godly friends who really love Jesus, you need to thank God for those friends. Ask Jesus to help you. Be a blessing to those friends. Don't take them for granted. Godly friends are an enormous blessing from God. Listen, guys, you hear me say this a lot, but it's true. We're in a great spiritual war. And we need encouragement from godly friends if we're going to stay in the battle. And I want you to stay in the battle, okay? Got to stay in the battle, guys. Let's pray. Father, I pray for my grandkids. You know I love them, and I want what's best for them. I know you love them, and you want what's best for them, too. Father, you know the friends my grandkids have right now. I don't. If they've got some godly friends who love you, who love Jesus, I want to thank you so much for those friends, and I pray you'd help my grandkids know how to encourage those friends and how to bless those friends and how to be thankful for those friends. But Lord, if they've got friends who are leading them to make bad decisions, who are setting bad examples, friends who don't really love you, don't love your word, don't love your truth, friends who are just full of themselves, Lord, I pray you would do what's necessary to put a hedge between my grandchildren and those friends, that those friends would find my grandkids repulsive, or my grandkids would find those friends repulsive, that they'd get away from those kids who may be leading them into disaster. Lord, would you help my grandkids understand that the decisions they're making right now will affect the rest of their lives? Would you help them understand that they can make decisions right now that can be so painful and so destructive just a little ways down the road? Would you please give my grandkids an alertness within their own heart that you're serious about your word and your truth? And it really is true that he who walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools is destroyed, ruined, suffers harm. Please help my grandkids realize how much you love them, how much I love them, and please help them to take you seriously the rest of their lives and to make good decisions. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thanks, kids, for watching the video today. I hope it helped. Some of you may be wondering why I've decided I can trust the Bible. And I'll admit it's true that there are some people out there today who've decided that the Bible is just a book of myths and made-up stories and that they feel like they can't trust it. But there are also lots and lots and lots of us who are convinced that it really is the actual Word of God. So I want us to consider the question, how do I know I can trust the Bible? So stay tuned and stay in the battle.